everybody. Amen. I asked Pastor Matthew to preach because I knew I'd be wound up, and and I needed to put a bit in my mouth and hold back. But Pastor Matthew, I know, has got a great word for us today. So I'd like for you to do this because we're very thankful for our associate pastor, aren't we? Amen. Let's give him a big hand and welcome him. But let's give thanks to the Lord for him. Amen. Come on, Pastor Matthew.
Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you very much. Praise God. Thank you, Father, that I am anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody back when I was in college, back when you were wee little kids, you know, back when I was in college, there was a show on TV called Ally McBeal. Anybody remember that show? For some reason, I liked that show. I don't remember why, but I would walk around and, she would walk around in the show, and she always had a theme song in her head if something was going on. So whatever the theme song was, you could see that on her emotions. She'd be walking down the street happy, or it might be in slow motion and she's dragging, you know. You could tell what her theme song was. So today, I want to ask you today, what's your theme song? Some days when we wake up and we go out the door, our theme song is...
There's a jungle out there. Disorder and confusion everywhere.
You're going around, you're scared. You don't know what's going on. I've got a little bit of a ring in up here, but you have a theme. You're nervous about things. You see distractions everywhere. You might wake up like my wife does, and
here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.
She sees the sunshine behind everything. Anybody like that? Some days you wake up and
you load 16 tons. What do you get? Another
you're just going to be dragging all day. You're just waking up dreading what's going on. You don't know. And some days you know you're going to have to deal with. You're just on a warpath that day. Anybody have that theme song today? Don't raise your hand. And finally, some days you wake up and... No, that wasn't supposed to be on there. I'm sorry, that wasn't supposed to be on there. Some days you wake up and you're ready to face the day, you know, carpe diem, you're ready to get it on, you know. No, maybe never mind. You're ready to hit the day strong. That's good, Andrew, thank you. Your theme is in your head. You know, whether you wake up and you're actually singing a song, you have your plan for the day in your head. Have you woken up and you're dragging, you're upset, you don't want to do that, you don't want to face that person the day, you don't want to do that particular job that day. Some people's theme song is the monk theme song where you're like... there's a jungle out there. There's confusion everywhere. I don't know what's going on. But when we have themes in our head and ideas in our head that aren't lining up with the Word, it's distorting the Word. Our theme is with us all day, and if our theme is the 16 tons, there's something wrong. One of the first verses I ever learned by heart, for some reason, I'm sure I learned a lot of verses by heart growing up, but this is the one that always stuck to me, John 10:10. The thief doesn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And the New Living says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And the Passion says, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Some people's theme is based on the first part, the devil's part. I ran into someone on Friday, and that was her theme that day. You know, I can't do anything right. Everything I touch just breaks. You know, she had that kind of attitude. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But sometimes he's sneaky about it. He doesn't come to the front door and knock and say, hey, can I destroy your life? sure, come on in. But in Rick Renner's Sparkling Gems book, he talks about the devil's name, how his name just means pounding, 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 pounding. You know, when something gets hit long enough, it's going to start crumbling after a while, and that's what he wants. He wants your defenses to get broken. He wants your eyes to get off the word. But what does it say here? I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. More than you expect. What do you expect? Well, he's given you more than you expect. Life in its fullness, happy and content. I mean, you got a backyard so big that you can run around naked and no one sees you in it. And you're happy. You're excited. Anybody want a backyard like that? If we look at the word, you know, all throughout the Old Testament, there's themes all throughout the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. And there's lists and things. I have a list here on my iPad, but I won't read them all. But it talks about in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and David and Samuel and Job and Esther and Isaiah. All these themes, Zephaniah, Zechariah, I can say those words. They're all pointing to Jesus. There's a theme all throughout the Word pointing to Him coming, pointing to His resurrection, pointing to His love for you, yes, to come and save you. We need to have those themes in our head, no matter what's going on. One of the songs one of my favorite songs recently that I can just play over and over, and I'm sure you've heard it, The Anthem by Jesus Culture, and that's what I based this sermon on. But one of the, I don't know if this is the chorus or the bridge or whatever, but the part of the song, and it says, I am royalty, I have destiny, I have been set free, I'm going to shape history. I'm going to change the world. Do you think that way?
Yes.
I have been set free. I have destiny. I am royalty. I'm going to shape history today. Or do you wake up with the 16 tons? What do I get? God, oh, look at my face. Oh. If you don't have an idea for your theme song, let me give you a couple theme songs. How about waking up and saying, I have been set free?
Amen.
That's your theme for the day. Amen. I have been set free. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We sung about that earlier. What exactly have we been redeemed from according to this verse? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. What does the curse of the law say? You have sickness and disease. Any type of disease not listed in it, that's the curse of the law. We are redeemed from that. Christ is not going to, He's not in the process of, He has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. He didn't commit sin any more than you committed righteousness, but He took it and became it when you received Him and received His righteousness. We receive what He has done. It's not right for the righteous to be cursed. It is not just, according to the Word, it is not right for you to be cursed.
Amen.
Your theme is that you're not cursed. So if you're waking up and saying, I'm confused,
yeah,
that's curse.
Yeah.
If you're waking up and saying, I'm sick, that's curse. Yeah. Yeah. It's not right for the righteous to be cursed. The Galatians 3:13 continues in the wayment that says, Christ has purchased our freedom from the curse of the law. The New Living says, Christ has rescued us from the curse. The We says, Christ has delivered us from by the payment of ransom. God's Word says, Christ paid the price for us to be free. You are free. You are rescued. You are delivered.
Yes.
Is that your theme song?
Yes.
Isaiah 44:22 says, I have swept away your sins like a cloud. I have scattered your offenses like the morning mist. Oh, return to me, for I have paid the price to set you free.
Amen.
You're free.
Amen.
Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. He's talking about you, folks.
Yes.
I got some more scriptures for you. You like the Bible?
Yes.
John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you might be free.
You are
truly free. Romans 6:7 says, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. We're not struggling. We're not trying to get by. We're not barely making it. We're on the road. We're on the path. We're on prosperity. We have deliverance. We have healing and happiness. Many people are burdened down and struck. Many people I have heard in this room have said, I can't do it. If I didn't have any luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Those kind of things. No, we have blessings and favor and power. Amen? Your words are either connecting you to the curse or to blessing. What words are coming out of your face? Your theme needs to remove anything that connects you to the curse. The blessing is very close to you. It's just as close as your mouth. What's coming out of your mouth is how close the blessing is to you. It's as close as your mouth and your heart. That's how close healing and deliverance and peace and joy and protection and vision. Amen?
Amen.
Your words are connecting you with the curse or the blessing.
Yes.
The curse, or which one are you going to choose? What did the word say? Choose what?
Life.
Choose life.
Yeah.
He's telling you which one to choose. The answer is already there. In Psalms 107, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Yes.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Just like the chorus of that song they were singing earlier, I am redeemed. We should be going around singing, I am redeemed. The Passion says, tell the world how he broke through and delivered you from the power of darkness. The Message says, all of you set free by God, tell the world, tell how he freed you from oppression.
Woo.
Your mouth should say all the time that you are free.
Yes.
Not, I can't do it. There's no way. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. I don't know. I'm confused. That's not what the word says.
That's right.
The word says,
right.
I am free.
Yes, Lord.
Amen?
Yes. Yes.
So if you don't have a theme song, you can say, I am free today. Amen?
Yes.
Say that with me. I am free.
Free.
Today, right now.
Amen.
Or you can say today, along with that, you can say, I am royalty. You might be saying, well, I don't feel like a king today. I don't feel like a prince or a princess. Look at my hair. But what does it say in the Bible? 1 Peter 2:9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Some of you like that peculiar people line, don't you? And the Passion says, but you are God's chosen treasure. You are God's chosen treasure. That's hard to say, chosen treasure. Priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he acclaims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. You are royalty. You are his kid. I love this scripture. I'm giving you the Bible today. We didn't give you a notes today. That's my fault, Pastor James. But write down, okay? And I'll send you my notes if you want them. But Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You are sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Is Jesus royalty?
Yes.
You're sitting next to him.
Yes.
Verse number 7. That in the ages to come he might show you the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are royalty. What does that power have to do with us? We're created in the likeness of Christ. You have been made alive in Christ. That same power that put Jesus at the right hand of God puts you at his right hand. You are his joint heir with the King of Kings. You know what it's, I love when Brother Copeland says this? When it talks about the King of Kings, the King's part is you. He's the King of Kings, not the King of royalty. That Kings, you are walking. That second That's King's nice. Part is you.
Yes, Lord.
He is the King of Kings. You are walking in covenant with Almighty God through Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It was created a power of God that worked in you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord. Did you know you're not what you used to be? Anybody been delivered from something?
Amen.
You are a new creature with authority in Christ. Jesus is royalty. We're royalty. Let me continue along that line. Romans chapter 8, verses 27 through 29, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Romans 8, 27 through 29. God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings. Yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us. Did you get that part? You ever wonder, does anyone care about me? Anyone thinking about me? The Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for you. His love, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. Verse number 28, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. Do I need to read that again? We are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. Verse number 29, for he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son. This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. This is talking about you, folks. When you are brothers and sisters of Jesus, but you are created in his likeness. You are royalty. If Jesus is royalty, then we are just like him. Designed, woven together to design to fulfill the purpose he has for us. If we are royalty and raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, we are designed to fulfill his purpose. How does a king rule? Well, if a king is sitting on a throne and he wants a ditch dug, does he say, give me a shovel? Does he say, hey, you, go dig it? Yeah. That's what we need to do. We need to make some decrees in our life and put the devil under our feet.
That's right.
We need to have a Snake Island mentality. Hey, Russian warship. Never mind. We need to say, hey, devil warship. You go away. I ain't dealing with you today. You're under my feet. You are defeated. We need to take our place and act our place. We are royalty. We are far above any of the junk that he's putting in front of us. Amen?
Amen.
That theme is running throughout the word and pointing to Jesus, that he paid the price, that he has a plan for us, that you are royalty. Amen?
Yep.
Let me give you another theme if that's not working for you today. I have destiny. I have destiny. I see my little kids sit on the front row. I know I've shared this story before. Eric, I'm going to embarrass you for a minute. Enjoy every minute of it, okay, buddy? But when Donna was pregnant for the first time, we were very excited, and we were reading this book about how you can believe God for the certain sex of your baby. And so we had already planned out what sex the baby's going to be. We had the colors picked out. We had the name picked out. We had everything picked out. And we went to the doctor, and Dr. Roberts said, you're having a boy. And we're like, we were supposed to have a girl. And so we went to dinner that night. It was actually Donna's birthday that night. We went to our favorite restaurant, P.F. Chang's, and they brought us out this big plate, and they used to write words on it. And it was very nice. And so we were talking about what happened. We believe it. We read the book. You know, the book said this. And I forget the name of the book, but it's a popular book.
Supernatural
Childbirth. Yeah. And so the Holy Spirit, he gave me a stern talking to. And your daddy ever give you a stern talking to?
Yes.
He said, who are you to talk about and to make plans for the kid that I have in your wife's belly? I have plans from since the beginning of the world to have a plan for your son to be born, to have the destiny, to have a purpose, to have a plan in life. Who are you to be upset about what sex of this child is? It shook me up. It wasn't my place to pray for the sex. He has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for that kid. You have a purpose and a plan and a destiny for your life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God with His own inheritance. Before we were even born, He gave us a destiny. Before you were even born, He gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God, who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in His heart. God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. Since the foundations of the world, He has a dream and an idea for you. You might be going around saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know what my next step is. Well, your next step is to be happy in the same place right now that you are and get grounded and rooted in the Word, and then He's going to show you the next step. Or your next step is taking a step.
Yes.
And if He says you're taking a step, He's guiding your steps. And if you stumble, He's going to pick you up.
Right.
If your foot's stuck in the mud, He's going to pull you out. God had a plan for the Israelites, didn't He?
Mm-hmm.
He gave them the promised land. He said, hey, this is your land. And what'd they say? We can't do it. They're too big. I can't gig it. There's no way. But He had a purpose for them. God had a way for the Israelites to defeat the armies long before they ever got to the promised land. Read in Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Before the spies lay down for the night, Rahab went up on the roof, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to those other people, the two kings of the Amorites to the east of Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and above on the earth, in heaven above and on the earth below. Long before they ever got there, those people were scared of them, running in fear and terror. And here the Israelites, the spies, are saying, we can't do it. We're grasshoppers. There's no way we can defeat. God had a plan already for them, a destiny, a way of winning, a way of overcoming. He has a plan and a purpose for you. Long before you ever make it there, He has a purpose, a dream, and a way for you to accomplish it. Amen? Doing what the children of Israel did gave the giants and the enemies 40 years to prepare for them, to get ready for them to come. But you don't have to wait 40 years. You have destiny now. You have it now. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 8 and 9, and the message says, long before he laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you hope and a future. Psalms 139, verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He was thinking of you. Every day he was thinking of you. So what's that anthem that you're listening to in your head? Is it a jungle out there? Or is it sunshine and roses today? What is it going to be? Because every day when you wake up, you have a choice, a plan. You have that option to either align with the curse, align with the blessing, be in agreement with the bad thing, or be in agreement with what God's word says. Amen? Everyone's testimony is different. I know Wesley was delivered from crack, and that's okay. But I didn't have that.
Really?
Not really. I was just joking. It was meth. I was just joking. But I didn't have that kind of testimony growing up. I one time had a young man, they asked him to follow me around as a mentor, and I tried to encourage, he had a drug background, and I didn't come from a drug background, and I tried to encourage him, hey, you have things in you that you can minister to people that I would never understand, because I didn't come from that. So you might be thinking, well, my background's different, but we all have a theme song running in our head, and I'm a planner, and I was talking about my background. I've always been a planner, so I've always wanted to know what the next step was and things I would get discouraged in and confused in. And there was a young man that was the praise and worship leader at the church I went to, and he was singing. He had written a lot of good songs, and one of the songs he wrote, one of the verses in the song, and I'm not going to try to sing this. It's okay. Is that okay? He said, wait, child, it's not time. Be still and know you're mine. You'll see it's all one day to me. I'll finish what I've begun. Just stay patient, my son. Well, that sounds good, right? I mean, you can apply that to certain areas in your life. There's certain areas in your life you need to wait and listen for the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, I need to wait to hear from him. Yes, you do. But what are we doing right now to prepare for him? Because right now, he's already told you that you have more than enough. Right now, he's already told. When Brother Keith Moore was believing for an airplane, he said, I'm believing for such and such airplane, and such airplane is so big. And God said, okay, if I gave you the airplane tomorrow, what you going to do with it? Where are you going to put it at? So he built a hangar. He put X's on the floor exactly where the wheels are on that airplane were going to go. And guess what? He has an airplane sitting on those X's on the floor because he prepared for it. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you go build a hangar, but I am telling you, get ready. God is blessing you right now. Are you prepared for it? Mentally, are you ready for it? Are you believing for a healing in your body? Because when you have it, what's the next word going to come out of your mouth? I hope I don't lose this. You know, every time it rains, my left elbow hurts, or whatever it is. What are you believing for? And then what's the words coming out of your face after that? Are you ready for it? The song, the anthem that I was talking about from Jesus Culture, this is, Wesley, you are going to sing this one for me, right? But the verses, I can hear the footstep of my King. I can hear his heartbeat beckoning. In my darkness, he has set me free. And now I hear the Spirit calling me. Wake up, child. It's your time to shine. You were born for such a time as this. You were born for right now. I can hear the holy rumbling. I've begun to preach another king, loosing chains and breaking down the walls. I want to hear the Father when he calls. And then he goes into, is this the bridge? This is the anthem of our generation. Here we are, God, shake our nation. All we need is your love. You captivate me. I am royalty. I am destiny. I have been set free. I'm going to shape history. I'm going to change the world. If you could just go around all day just singing those things, I am royalty. I have destiny. I have been set free. I'm going to shape the world. Other than, what am I going to do today? How am I going to make it today? There's no way out of this. So what's your theme song? If you have been going around thinking the things that aren't in agreement with the world, you can change it right now. You can address it right now. You can change 100%. Just one word out of your face can be in agreement with the word instead of what the devil. Remember, the devil's trying to trick you and get your eyes of what the word says. Your thoughts and your attitude and your emotions and your feelings need to be, sometimes your feelings and emotions don't agree with what the word says, but what's coming out of your face? The word, in agreement with God's word. It might be all heck breaking loose in this area, but we're coming out of this. It might be it's tough in the checkbook. The word says my checkbook is full. My bank account is full and overflowing, that I have so much that I can't give it away. What's coming out of your face? Amen. I'm going to change the world. I am royalty. I have destiny. I have been set free. I'm going to shape history. Amen. Let me give you one more theme song. In 2 Chronicles 5, 13 through 14. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were all as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, they went, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. If you can't say, I am royalty, if you can't say today, I am destiny, I've been set free, you can go around saying, for you are good, Lord, and your mercy endures forever. No matter what's going on, you could have had the tragedy going on in your life, but you are good, Lord, and your mercy endures forever. Can you say that with me? Can you stand up with me and say this together? For you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Father, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Right now, there's angels flying around the throne of God singing this forever and ever. Father, you are good. You are merciful. You are kind. You are loving. You are just. You are loving. We just praise you. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. We just thank you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, today is your day. If you need that theme song in your life to change from 16 tons to for you are good and your mercy endures forever, today is your day. All you have to do is say, Father, today I choose you. Father, today I choose you to put your word first. Lord, come, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my deliverance. You are you have ransomed me. I have been set free, and I just thank you. I have more than enough. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. And we just praise you. We worship you. We magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Can you say that with me one more time? You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Amen. You can be seated there. Amen. Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. Pastor James, that's all I have. Amen.